Hi, Terry. What's on your mind?
Hi. Speaking of the vitamin C rant, maybe what I have to ask here fits into that a bit. My wife's nephew is suffering from the current opioid addiction crisis, and he's on naltrexone. And I thought I heard you say sometime in the past that maybe it was niacinamide and vitamin C could help occupy those opioid receptors. Is my memory okay on that, or is there something else?
I don't think that niacinamide occupies those same receptors, and I'm pretty sure that vitamin C doesn't. But the vitamin C definitely can help do an ongoing detox while we're trying to get off of this stuff. So I definitely would recommend thinking about bowel tolerance levels of vitamin C, whatever those are for each individual, because that we can do on our own. Okay, but there's a lot of other things, too, that
sure.
even though I'm not an expert on this topic, I'm really not, but I've certainly done enough reading of other people who are experts. Just for example, there's a lot of information about the pain-relieving capabilities of a hormone, or I guess I should call it a peptide hormone, made by all of our pituitary glands. It's the one called oxytocin. Now, the one where we hear about oxytocin the most is, that's the bonding hormone. It helps mom to bond to baby. It helps people get along with each other better. And yes, when mother is having her baby, out comes this great, enormous flood of oxytocin. And it helps her bond with baby, but more importantly, it reduces her pain level. And boy, is she undergoing a heck of a pain level. And with all that oxytocin, it settles down the pain. Oxytocin, unfortunately, even though it's totally safe, and no mother or infant ever died of that flood of oxytocin or even got hurt with it during childbirth. But despite that, people who regulate things just love to have it on prescription. Why? Because it makes it cost more, and that way it's not inexpensive as compared to the high-priced patented pain relievers. But one can get oxytocin, and it does relieve pain, and so that can help cut down on the pain. Now, speaking of cutting down on the pain so that maybe we don't have to use that opioid if that's why we're using it, there's a wonderful book out there by Professor Stanley Jacob from the University of Oregon, who spent a whole lot of time during his career researching something called by the entire name is called methyl sulfonyl methane. But the book is called The MSM Miracle. And one of the things it talks about, sir, is that how MSM is able to cut levels of pain enough so that people can sometimes take less of other pain-relieving drugs. And you can find MSM in all the natural food stores. There's a few people who have trouble metabolizing it because of the sulfur content. That's the S in the MSM. And if they do, working with a physician skilled and knowledgeable in natural medicine, they'll find that, what do you know, if we use some molybdenum along with the MSM, it helps get rid of the trouble metabolizing. Molybdenum is key to MSM metabolism. Most of us don't have that trouble. If you do, one should be aware of it. Now also, and I'll shut up shortly, there are other natural pain relievers. The newsletter that's about to come out for April, yeah, we're a little behind schedule, has a nice article in there by Carrie Bone, who happens to be a world-class herbalist. He's actually, along with Simon Mills, the author of the textbook of what's called phytotherapy, which just means herb medicine, that's used in every naturopathic college. And Dr. Bone tells us that Boswellia, which is the fancy Greek or Latin name for frankincense of all things, Boswellia in concentrated form is just as good, if not better, a pain reliever than the strongest stuff that's sold over the counter today. So there's some alternatives to help cut down on pain. I would really like to be certain of something that occupies the receptors, but oxytocin, MSM, the MSM Miracle by Stanley Jacob, and then, of course, detoxing every day with vitamin C are the things I do know about, even though I'm not an expert.
One other thing that was suggested for him, he had a while back, a couple months ago, he had an EEG neurometrics exam, and they compare that to this NeuroGuide lifespan database and came up with a recommendation for a 4-week treatment program to basically rewire his brain patterns. And I think I've heard you talk about that before as well, and it seems like a reasonable thing to do.
Yeah. Now, if I were thinking about that, I would call the office of Dr. David, Matthew is the name, Matthew Brock, B-R-O-C-K. He was with the Homa Clinic for about 6 months, and then family circumstances forced him to go back to Portland. So he has an office in Vancouver, Washington. But he is very skilled at neural reprogramming without using patent medicines or other dangerous things. He uses natural electromagnetic fields. So if I were going in that direction, I'd call that office, because he does know what he's doing there.
And how do you spell his last name?
B-R-O-C-K. And he's in Vancouver, first name Matthew. Vancouver, Washington, that is.
Okay.
I wish
you
were still with us at Tom. You go ahead.
Yeah. I'll see if I'm going to make the call. They live in Florida.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, well, he lives in Florida.
Dr. Brock is member, as most physicians are, of various organizations in which they have an interest, which means he may know somebody else that he can refer to.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. That sounds good. I'm familiar with Kerry Bone and his work, and he even recommends boswellia for arthritic pain.
Right.
In the
joints. Kerry and I have talked about that, because more recent research shows that their niacinamide is just outstanding, and the mechanism of action is known. It rejuvenates the mitochondria inside the cartilage cells, enabling the cartilage cells to revive themselves. And this was first observed, although the mechanism wasn't known, in the 1940s.
Yeah.
I keep talking about that. People I work with, here, take this amount of niacinamide, please, and it won't do a thing for your arthritis for the first 2 to 3 weeks, but third and fourth week you start to notice it, and by the third and fourth month, over 95% of everybody has complete control of all their osteoarthritis pain. So anyway, I understand what Kerry's saying.
The dose level on that's what, 1,000 milligrams twice a day?
For smaller people, the full dose, as recommended back in the 1940s, was 1,000 milligrams three times a day. But here's the thing. We can always tell if it's too much niacinamide for our livers to process, because guess what? We start getting a low-grade nausea. When that happens, oops, it's too much niacinamide for my liver. But if that doesn't happen, it's not too much.
And on the vitamin C, though, this is not just a straight ascorbic acid. This is a kind of the full spectrum vitamin C with all the bioflavonoids and that sort of thing as well. Is that right?
It is a good idea if you can get bioflavonoids to go with vitamin C, but it's not totally necessary, because the detox function is strictly ascorbic acid or ascorbate, whichever sodium ascorbate.
Yeah.
One of my favorites for that is you can get what are called mineral ascorbates, which means copper ascorbate, zinc ascorbate, blah, 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 all the minerals. So that way you get some minerals in along with your ascorbate.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, sir. Well, thank you for calling.
Thank you much.